Take the Word of God with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, we have been going through the life of Jesus Christ and the Gospel according to John. But for Mother's Day, I asked the Lord about looking at another Scripture. I thought, what could we talk about for Mother's Day? And usually at Christmas time, I preach on the resurrection. And at Easter time, I preach on the birth of Christ. And on Mother's Day, I preach on hell. Don't be quiet. I'm trying to be funny, and I guess I'm failing at it. I like the preach what people don't expect, right? You expect to hear about mothers on Mother's Day. You expect to hear about the birth of Christ at Christmas and the resurrection on Easter. So I very, very, very rarely change my message for a holiday. But I asked the Lord, I said, would you want me to do something different? And He did bring a Scripture to mind. And I'm going to do what I hardly ever do. I'm going to do a Mother's Day theme message. I want you to turn with me to 2 Kings 4. If you're able, could you stand with me again? If you're able, we're going to read just a few verses. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take him unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, and even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." The title this morning is When Mama Believes God. When Mama Believes God. So let's pray together. Lord, help us now as we've opened Your Word. Help us to rightly divide it. Help us to understand this wonderful miracle that happened and what we are to learn from it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Be seated, please. My favorite thing to preach in the Old Testament is of Elijah and Elisha. I love the old prophets. Elijah was God's prophet, and we read about him mostly in 1 Kings. And if you recall, Elijah, he was an honorary prophet, wasn't he? He's the one that the king says, Are you the one that's been troubling Israel? That crazy preacher stirring up the whole country. And Elijah said, Oh no, you're the one that's been troubling Israel. You're the one that's the problem. He was a very very politically incorrect prophet. He had no problem saying it was the politicians sending the world to hell, and the preachers are the ones trying to fix it. I was telling out the Rusty this morning. I was picking him up. I said, I'm kind of angry right now. I'm just fed up of this city dying and going to hell. I'm kind of riled up about it. And you need to get kind of riled up about that. The world's dying and going to hell before us, and we've got an obligation to do something about it. And Elijah was the old prophet that preached, Thus saith the Lord. Elisha, and I love how their names are so close. I don't know how many times I get them confused. I told my wife all week, I'm going to be preaching about Elijah and that widow lady. And I thought, oh no, it's Elisha. Elisha was one of the sons of the prophets. He's the one that the mantle of Elijah fell on. You remember that? Elijah was told that he was going to be taken up to heaven. And he kept on Elisha, go on back. He said, I ain't leaving you. I'm going with you. And he kept following him. And then when that chariot of fire came and separated them, and a whirlwind took Elijah up into heaven, that his mantle fell. Elijah said, well, if my mantle falls down from heaven, it's yours. He's also the one, Elisha was out there working a yoke of oxen. Elijah came and threw the mantle on him. And he said, follow me. Kind of reminds you of somebody, don't it? Elijah, a good picture of Jesus Christ there saying, come, follow me. Elisha said, well, let me first go back and tell my family goodbye. And he said, nope, we ain't got time. We got to keep moving. And Elisha killed the two oxen. Did a sacrifice right there. When he followed God, he burned his bridges. There was no going back. There's no, well, we'll give the Jesus thing a try, and if things don't get better, I'll go back. No, it was full blown. There's so much good preaching in these prophets. I want to preach all of it right now with Elijah and Elisha. But that mantle, when Elijah was taken up, fell on Elisha. And Elisha was now God's man. He was God's prophet. And he said, I want a double portion of what God did with Elijah. And he got it. If you study it, Elisha did twice the miracle that Elijah did. This miracle is real comparable. There was a widow lady starving to death, her and her son. And God allowed through the word of Elijah for that barrel mill to never go empty. And that cruse of oil never ran out. Now I know I'm speaking in tongues for y'all. I'm from North Carolina. Oil is what y'all call oil. I can't help it. It's oil. I try sometimes on purpose to say oil. I just can't do it. I have a lot of words I can't say correctly. I remember when we first moved out west, somebody said, boy, you got an accent. And I said, I ain't got an accent. And then I thought, that's the most southern thing I say. I ain't got an accent. And I do. That's okay. We all have some kind of an accent. Where I come from, spanking the Yankee cuss word, we called it whoopings. Anyway, Elijah said the barrel of meal never went empty. And the cruse of oil never ran dry. It never was overflowing, but it never ran out. Here we see a comparable miracle with the oil here and this widow lady. But that's the context. We're dealing with Elisha, God's prophet. And as we're reading this, we know that Elisha was one of many young preachers following the old prophet. But he's the one that took it more seriously than the rest. He's the one that God allowed the mantle to fall on. Here, as we read the story, beginning in verse 1, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. This woman is the wife of a man who was one of the preachers. He was learning under Elijah. If you recall, when Elijah was going to be taken to heaven and Elisha was following him, the sons of the prophets kept telling Elisha, why don't you just go on home? Don't you know your master's about to leave? Don't you know? And he said, yes, I know it. Keep your peace. I'm following him anyway. Maybe this husband was one of them. I don't know. There's a lot of theories. Well, some commentators said that this prophet that died here might have been Obadiah. This might have been Obadiah's wife. We don't know who it is. Commentators all have different ideas, and I've told y'all what a commentator is. It's just a commentator. He's just any old spud. Where's my sign? That's supposed to be funny. Commentators don't always know. They don't always know. Here's what we know about this man. We know that he's one of the sons of the prophets. We know he was a preacher. That's a positive thing. My son asked me today, he said, are you the preacher here? And I said, yeah. He's one of the sons of the prophets. We also see here, he says, that thy servant, my husband. He was a son of a prophet and he was a servant. He's a preacher and he's a servant. I heard a preacher say this week, they have a big youth meeting every year. And in this youth meeting, they'll have about 100 young preacher boys come to this youth meeting. About 100 of them. Some of them 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. And this older preacher, I say older, he ain't old, he's in his 50s, but older to these young preachers. He said, I want to have a young preacher's meeting Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. Saturday morning, 7 o'clock. So, they all showed up. They got their suits and ties on, they got their Bibles, and they think they're probably going to go and get to preach or something. Well, the older preacher's sitting there in his bib overalls. He said, I'm going to teach y'all something about preaching. You're a servant. He started handing out mops and brooms. So let's go out here and let's mop fellowship hall. Here's some toilet brushes. Y'all clean the toilets. Y'all go out and we're going to do some serving. People don't like using that term. I'm a servant. Until somebody starts treating you like a servant. Sometimes the help isn't always treated well, is it? That's what you and I are. We're servants. As a preacher, one of the words people use for a pastor is he's a minister. You know what a minister means? It means he's a servant. He has a responsibility to serve. Now, who does he serve? Somebody said, well, the preacher works for the church. That's a lie. He was a servant of the Lord. He served the Lord. I'll go ahead and tell you all this. Don't get nervous. I don't work for y'all. I work for the Lord. But the servant's not greater than his master. And Jesus washed the disciples' feet and he said, I'm showing you how you ought to serve one another. I serve Jesus by serving his church. But I take my marching orders from him. We're servants. This man here was a servant. Those young preacher boys didn't like that. They didn't want to get up and work 7 in the morning. They got their suits and ties on. People think ministry is wearing a suit and tie. A lot of time it's wearing bib overalls. A lot of time it's working. It's working hard. It's serving. Here, we read that he said, thy servant did fear the Lord. Man, what we've read about this man so far is real good. He's a preacher. He's a servant. He feared God. What we've read so far is all positive, except now we read he's dead. He said, thy servant, my husband is dead. Now, you know this, thy servant did fear the Lord. But the creditors come. Take away my two sons to be bondmen. It's important to know that in the Old Testament, now I'm going to talk about something, don't get nervous. You read about slavery in the Bible. And we're so American that we can't see the culture of the Middle East and of these days. This is not the slavery that we dealt with here in America. This was slavery in the sense of, I owe you more money than I'll be able to pay you, so I'm going to have to work it off. That's what it meant. We read about slaves in the Bible. Most of the time, it's talking when God told them how to have slaves, He wasn't telling them to go kidnap a bunch of people in Africa and bring them over here. He was telling them that there's a way you can work off your debt if you can't pay it off. Sometimes it might take the rest of your life to work it off, but you can work off a debt. God has always been against slavery in the sense that we know it, because every 50 years on the year of Jubilee, all the servants, all the slaves were to be set free. God was against the slavery movement that we dealt with in this country. Now, I know that's old and settled, but you do realize that slavery is still very common in the world. I'm going to tick everybody off. There was more Irish slaves than African slaves. Study, that's just history. Facts don't care about your feelings. That's just the truth. We all know about one side of it. There's a lot more to it. And it's all wicked. It was all wicked. But here we find that this preacher served God, feared God, preached the Word of God, but he died in debt. So most of what we read about him is real positive. Here's the negative. He died in debt. Because he's in debt, the law required his sons were going to have to pay off his debt. Debt's a serious thing. This isn't popular. You won't hear this in most churches, but still in the Bible. Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is servant to the lender. Yes. If you owe somebody money, you have a master. Yes. I don't believe it's right to loan money, to be honest, among family. If I was to borrow money from a family member, and then I go to Thanksgiving dinner with them, I'm not eating Thanksgiving dinner with my family. I'm eating with my master. Because I'm a servant to him as long as I owe him money. It's funny, you borrow money from your family, and then they're going to start getting picky with what brand of clothes you buy the kids, and where you go on vacation, what you do, because they think you owe them something. It's a real good idea to stay out of debt. I know in America they say you got to have debt. You got to have debt. But the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. Isaiah 55 verse 2 says, wherefore dost thou spend money for that which is not bread? We do need things to live. You need food, shelter, and water. I've had people, I counted it last month, 17 days out of the month, I got a phone call here at the church, people wanting help with money. 17 days out of the month, almost the majority of the days, over the majority of the days, people wanting money. And people ask me for money and they got an iPhone in their pocket. And I always ask them what Isaiah said. Where do you spend money for that which is not bread? I ain't going to help someone pay the phone bill. You can live without a phone. Somebody needs food, water, shelter, totally different story. People don't usually go into debt for food, water, and shelter. It's usually for something stupid. No, I know. It got real quiet. I felt a disturbance in the forest when we brought it up. But it's in the text. It's a serious thing to understand that this man was a good man, but he did what every one of us has done too. Let me go ahead and tell you, I got one finger at you, three back at me. When my wife married me, I had over $20,000 of credit card debt. I was stupid. Real dumb. And I had to work my brains out to get out of it. Thank the Lord He got us out of it. But debt was this man's fault. I don't know what happened. I don't know why he was in debt. The Bible doesn't say. Maybe it was a good reason. I don't know. But here's his fault. He's in debt. You know what this goes to show you? Even good men have faults. The man feared God, preached the Word of God. He was a servant, but he had debt. And you know the sad thing? Now, hear this. The mistakes you make will affect your family. I know that. The things I've done wrong is going to affect my wife and my kids. I know that. Even good men doing the right thing, those good things affect your family and the negative things. That's a heavy responsibility. I've had to make some decisions in my life and they have affected my family, good and bad. Boy, that weighs on me. I hope that weighs on you men to know the things you do affect your family. But more than this, look what else we read. We read that this woman comes to the preacher and says, "My husband was a preacher. He feared God, he preached the Word of God, he did all the things right, but he's dead." It goes to show everybody dies. Men die. We all die. Sometimes you die with things left undone. So she goes to the preacher and says, "Something doesn't change. My two sons are going to be in bondage." That's a scary thing. It's a scary thing for me to think about what kind of bondage will my decision put my children in. Well, Elisha asked her a question. "What shall I do for thee?" What can I do about it? It's kind of like Peter. You know something funny? If you read in the Bible, there was a guy that asked Peter and James and John for some money. And Peter gives the famous answer, "Silver and gold have I none." You know what's interesting about that if you read the context? The church in Jerusalem had just taken up a good offering. The church had money. But this is something that people in Topeka need to know this. The church's money doesn't just belong to everybody. It doesn't even belong to the preacher. He goes, "Oh, well, the church has got money. Can't you give me a little bit?" No. When Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none," even though he had access to the church's money, it wasn't his. And if you know what happens if we go out there and help people with their money? They just want more of it. I'll tell you an interesting story. There was a barber that a Methodist preacher went in there to get a haircut. And when he went to pay, the barber said, "I've been cutting hair for years. I've never charged a preacher for a haircut." And the Methodist said, "Thank you so much." The next day, the barber went to the shop, and there was some flowers. He sent the barber some flowers to decorate the shop, said, "Thank you for the haircut." Well, then, later, a Presbyterian preacher, he went there, he got his hair cut. The barber said, "I won't take any money from a preacher." He said, "Well, thank you." Well, the Methodist sent a dozen flowers. The Presbyterian sent a dozen chocolates. Said, "Thank you for cutting my hair. That was so nice of you." Well, then the Baptist preacher goes over there and gets a haircut. He says, "I am not going to charge you for the haircut. I've never charged a preacher for a haircut day in my life." The Baptist said, "Thank you." The next day, there wasn't a dozen chocolates or a dozen flowers. There was a dozen other Baptist preachers wanting a haircut. All right, you'll get it. You'll get it later. People want stuff for free, and sometimes that's us too. We want something for free. Like the old saying, you give a man a fish, you feed him, you teach him how to fish, he'll learn how to feed himself. What was the preacher supposed to do? People come to the preacher with the deepest problems of life. And you know what preachers have to look at you and say? "What can I do about it?" Oh man, I've had people tell me, "If something doesn't change..." I mean, I had it just the other day. Someone said, "If something doesn't change, I'm going to lose my kids. If something doesn't change, I'm going to lose my family. If something doesn't change, we're going to lose everything." And you know what the preacher can do about it? Not a single thing. Preacher can't fix your problems. No, he can help you. He can do everything he can, but he can't do much. The preacher said, "What shall I do?" But this is what he does go on to say. "Tell me." You know what the preacher has to work with? What God has said and what you're willing to be honest with. That's all I can do for you. I can tell you what God has said, and I can try to get you to get honest. You can't help somebody who won't get honest. I've had people come to me and say, "Oh, I'm miserable, I can't sleep at night. And I feel guilty." For what? Well, I can't help you till you get honest. Till you tell me what's bothering you. What is God convicting you of? And if people say, well, I'm fine, I'm doing pretty good, I can't do anything for them. Even Jesus couldn't help the people who weren't willing to get honest about their sin and honest about their need. So what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? The man of God said, what do you have? You realize, you know what preacher's job is? It's real simple. We ask you questions, we tell you what you already know, and we give you advice to work with of things you already have. I'm not going to tell you anything this morning you probably didn't already know. All I'm able to do is when you're in this place with these people, I'm able to remind you of what you already know. I'm able to get you to ask questions and to think. But it's the Spirit of God that can fix your needs, not the preacher. It's the Word of God that can fix your needs, not the preacher. So this story is really not about the old man that died. It's really not about the prophet. Because the prophet asked her, what can I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Know what she says? I have nothing. Not anything. Except a pot of oil. She said, I don't have anything. That ain't true. We all got something. But all she had was a pot of oil. That's it. She didn't have much else to work with. She said, I have nothing but a pot of oil. Do you know what the man of God said? His advice to her was to take what she had and by faith believe God to work with what she had to meet her needs. You come to me and tell me you got a need. My advice is not going to be, well, what you need to do is go use $1 million and invest it. If you ain't got $1 million, you can't invest it. You can't work with what you don't have. If I told you what you need to do is get a Volkswagen, well, I ain't got a Volkswagen. That'd be silly advice to tell you to do something you don't have. You have to work with what you have. What does she have? It was a pot of oil. She has nothing but the oil. Now, it's interesting that it's oil. I don't know if this is cooking oil, lamp oil, doesn't matter. Either way, it would fit a mama. Because you know what the Bible says that the job of the mama was? Look at Titus 2 with me quickly. Titus chapter 2. We see the advice. Here's the preacher's job. Verse 1, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. My job was to tell you what God said. The man's job is that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity and patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. It isn't popular today, but God made woman to keep the home. That's what the Bible says. She keeps the home. She keeps the home. The woman is going to know about the oil, to cook the food, to light the house. Whatever the oil is used for, that was her responsibility to keep the home. Now I understand there's rare occasions. There's times that maybe a woman's on her own. She has to work. She has to do the things. And God understands those that have to. But boy, it's the best scenario. When the man goes out and works and the wife keeps the home. I know this isn't popular. It's 2024. But, oh well. They keep the home. You say, well, the preacher didn't tell her to go out and get a job. The preacher didn't tell her to go out here and do anything out of her realm. She told her to work with what she had. And what did she have? She had all at home. All at home. She took that. And look what it says. He tells her, well, go borrow vessels of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. He doesn't tell her to go borrow vessels full of anything. He said, in fact, get empty ones. Get empty vessels. Borrow not a few. He said, don't go out and just talk to two or three people. Get as much as you can together of these empty vessels. And when you come in, shut thou the door upon thee and thy sons, and pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So you got this vessel of oil, go borrow all the vessels you can borrow from your neighbors, and just dump the oil into it. And you just keep dumping, and you set aside the vessels that are full of oil. Now you notice this, he doesn't tell her what to do with it. He doesn't explain in verse 5 what she's going to do with all that oil. He just tells her to go borrow the vessels and dump into it. And then it came to pass when, it says in verse 5, she went from him and shut the door upon her and her sons and brought the vessel to her and she poured it out. You know something amazing? This woman did not know all the details. But she knew what God had told her to do and she obeyed it. She obeyed what God said. She didn't have to put it on Facebook and advertise it to the world. She didn't go start a GoFundMe account begging everybody to help her. She went to God and said, "What can I do?" And the man of God told her, "You work with what you have at home. And it's private. You shut the doors between you and your children. You're going to teach your children how to work. You're going to teach your children to believe God. And I will do what you're not able to do if you do what you are able to do first." She took her sons and she taught her sons the work. We're missing this nowadays. Oh, we could run with this. We can go read about Proverbs 31 and the virtuous woman, who would be the first one out of bed and the last one in bed. She would rise while it was yet night. And she would cook for the family. And she'd prepare. And she'd work in the field. She'd clothe her children. She'd work and she'd work and she'd work. And she taught her children how to do the same. You know why a lot of people nowadays are lazy and good for nothing? Because mama let them be. And because daddy was lazy good for nothing. You know why people don't want to work? They don't have to anymore. Nowadays, you make more money being worthless than working. Welcome to socialism. It's what we're dealing with in this country. It's why we're going to hell in a handbasket. It's why we're $33.5 trillion in debt. Because we're spending money we don't have. We just voted to send more money to the Ukraine than we'll spend on our entire United States Marine Corps this year. Welcome to America. Welcome to the nut show. America is an insane asylum being ruled by the inmates. It's a nightmare. And you know why? We've gotten away from what used to work. We've gotten away from mamas that were willing to get alone with their children and teach them to work and to believe God. Maybe her son said, "Mama, what are we doing?" "Well, we're getting these vessels, we're filling them with oil." Why? Because God said to. But what? That doesn't make sense. That's not what everybody else is doing. I don't care what everybody else is doing. We're going to believe God. Well, what's God going to do with it? That's not my problem. We're just going to believe God. She poured the oil in the vessels and then she told her son, "Bring me another one." There's a miracle for 2024. She said, "Hey, son, bring me something." And he did. For children that obey the parents is a miracle anymore. The son said, "Mama, there's no more empty vessels." So now what's she going to do? And they went and told the preacher, said, "Well, the oil stayed. It stopped. There's no more. We had the vessel. We got all the empty ones. We kept pouring and kept pouring. And we ran out of empty ones. They're all full. Now what?" That's quite a miracle, isn't it? He said, "Well," she said, "go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live off the rest." We're not talking she had this much oil and she dumped it into that much. We're talking she's got enough to pay off the debt and live off it for a while. Isn't it amazing how God multiplies what you don't have when you work with what you do have? I asked an older preacher the other day, I said, "Man, I'm tired, I'll be honest. I work 45, 48 hours a week. I pastor a little church. I have my family. I don't sleep. People ask me, what do I do for fun?" I said, "I haven't had fun in 7 years. I don't have time for that. I work too much. I ain't got time to breathe." And I asked this older preacher, I said, "How do you keep from getting burnt out?" Here's the answer. You do what God told you to do, and God will give you the strength to do it. Wait on the Lord, he says. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. Shall walk and not faint." We must rest in the Lord. He'll give us the strength. Being a mother's hard work. My wife's got a t-shirt that says "Motherhood, the most dangerous hood you'll ever walk through." Or however it's worded. Scariest hood. Scariest hood. It's hard work to be a mama. Some of it seems redundant. Some of it seems like a huge step of faith. Take something empty and ask God to multiply it and fill it up. You're teaching your kids to believe God. I bet you those boys never forgot what mama showed them. They never forgot Mama just kept doing the things that seemed simple. It's a mighty simple thing to sit in a rocking chair and open the Bible, but Larry gave testimony this morning. That's what he remembers about his Mama, opening the Word of God and reading it. It's a simple thing to say, get up, we're going to church. Well, it's Sunday, I'm tired. Jesus got up on Sunday and so are you. Get up, we're going. It seems simple to just cook for the family. By the way, you ladies, picking out what you're going to eat for supper, the whole family, every night for the rest of our lives, I don't know what y'all did to deserve that. That's meant my wife asked me, what do you want to eat? I don't know. It hit me. She has to figure that out. It's the work, the effort that Mama's got to put in. But yet, look at what's our fondest memories? Is what Mama cooked. The Bible she read to us. Taking us to church, singing the old rugged cross with Mama. Those are the things that God keeps in our mind. I doubt many of us remember watching TV with Mama. Maybe you do, but that's the stuff that doesn't matter. It's those big things that matter. Here, the Mama had nothing, but she believed God. She worked with what she had. She had to testify to others that she needed help. Can you imagine that? Hey, Sally, can I borrow an empty pot? What for? Well, the preacher told me to dump oil from one pot into the other pots. I need some empty pots. What for? That's what the preacher told me to do. What you going to do with it? Well, he never really told me. I wonder if any of the neighbors said, no, I don't think I'm going to help out with that. That's kind of odd, isn't it? We're getting to the day and age where doing what God told us seems crazy to the world. But if you'll just do what God said, no matter how silly and crazy it seems, you'll be amazed at what God will allow to stick around from it. These kids never forgot it. She testified to others that she needed help, and she watched God work. She taught her boys behind closed doors. Your kids spend hours and hours and hours at school, spend a few hours a week hearing the preacher, but you know where they're learning most of it? From Mama. I don't get a lot of quantity time with my kids. I spend a couple hours a day at the most with them because I'm working. I have to be careful to give them quality time because I don't have a lot of quantity time to give them. Mama has a bunch of time with them. Where does the weight fall on teaching those kids? A lot of it falls on Mama. A lot of it. She has to teach them behind closed doors. God honored her obedience. Here's the conclusion. The man of God can only help her when she was willing to live out her faith. I like what Dr. Lee Robertson said. People come to him for counseling. He'd always ask them five questions. Are you faithfully reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you tithing? Are you soul winning? What's the fifth one? I can't remember now. Go to church, read your Bible, pray, soul winning. There's another one. Can't remember what it was. But the things that we all take for granted. You go to church, read your Bible, you pray. You just do the basics. Do the basics. You know how many problems are solved when people just get back to the basics? Just the basics. You'll find that the more people miss church, the less they'll miss church. The more they get away from the Bible, the more their mind will get messed up and they'll get depressed. We have a great need to live in this book, to come together. You don't come here to hear me preach. The Bible says we come to exhort one another. If you came here just to hear the preacher give a speech, you're going to probably leave pretty empty today. But if you came to be together with the church, to be encouraged with the singing, encouraged with each other, it's those little things that God is going to use to solve your bigger problems. I don't know how many of life's biggest problems have been solved just by the little, simple things in life. So the man of God can only help her when she's willing to live out her faith. She did not allow the prior failure to hinder what she needed to do next. She could have lived her rest of her life as a victim. My dumb old husband died, left us in debt. Well, she can complain about it, and that's a pretty good thing to complain about. Or she could just do what she needed to do. Everybody always asks, who, what, where, when, and why? You know what very few people will ask? What can I do about it? This woman said, what can I do about it? So, let me close with this. To the mamas and grandmas, I'll say this. There are creditors out there wanting to take your kids. The world wants your family. This liberal agenda that we're fighting, they're trying to recruit your kids. You say, you're trying to scare me? With every ounce of my being, I'm trying to scare you. They want your kids. They want my kids. So what are you going to do about it? You're going to have to work with what you have in your home. What do you have in your house? People always show up to the preacher when the kids hit teenage years. By then it's too late. You better work with what you have in your house now. Yeah, but I'm already in trouble. So was she. She had to start then. The answer wasn't go back and fix the past, but it was right here today. What do you have in your house? So mamas, what do you have in your house? What do you have? What are you investing in the kids behind closed door when the preacher ain't watching? No one else. What are you doing in your house? That's the answer to save our children from the evil of this world. I grew up with shouting grannies in church. My grandmother, she'd wave a hanky and shout. She'd raise her hand in church and she didn't have a question. I mean, it was old-fashioned, old-timey. And it lasted. The secret to this country is getting back to the simple thing behind closed doors. You can get mad at the world and what they're doing. But don't get mad at the world for messing up your kids outside the house if we're not investing in our kids inside the house. So tell me, Mama, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? Will you take what you have and ask God to multiply it? God can take what you have in your house. Multiply it. It'll be enough to get rid of that debt and enough for you and your kids to live on if you get back to what works. When Mama believed God, the needs were met. So what do you have in your house? Let's stand and pray together. Father, I know the message is a little unusual today, not usually what we would talk about on a Sunday morning, but it's a very needful thing. Here today, we've been remembering Mama. We've been remembering the things that You've done through Mamas in the past. And we're grateful for the Mamas that worked with what they had in their house. The Mamas that taught us to read the Bible, to pray, to memorize Scripture, to go to church, to be faithful, go to Sunday school. The little things. And we're so grateful for how You've multiplied those little things. Now, I pray You'd help the rest of us to be faithful with what we have in our house. Some of us here are young families, some are older families. But as we read in Titus 2, these older ladies can admonish the younger ladies and teach them how to be keepers at home and do these things. Help us, Father, to be able to do it. Thank You for mothers. I pray You'd help these dear ladies in our midst today to work with what they have in the house. Help us men to lead in a way that's right. Help us to live a life that we're not leaving our ladies and children in debt. Help us to do what's right before God. To work hard with our hands to live an honest and quiet and peaceful life. Now, Father, dismiss us with Your blessing. Bring us back in the next appointed time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The preacher went long today, so I'm not going to sing another.